So, good morning, everybody. My name's Neville Richardson from Sealord. I'd first, as is our tradition, like to say a few words. Tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai, haere mai, ki tēnei wāhanga, mata mahi o aha, mata mahi tahi, ki o mātou hō mahi, ki uru ai ngā ara tikahau, hei ora tonu, ai tēnā ana kiwa o Sealord whānau, ka pērangi ahau, ka tangohia ēnei tautō heitō i a koutou, hei whakakaha o koutou mahi i Aotearoa. So, I've been with Sealord as the IS manager for about 18 months now. Before that, I was the CIO at Les Mills, and before that, I worked in Europe for BMW. I did actually train as an archaeologist, so of course, I'm absolutely applying that by some of the old relics that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. I'd also like to introduce Paul Scott from Dascom and Mark Young. So, in our presentation today, I'm going to give you some background as to Sealord and how we are really looking to leverage the full Microsoft stack and gain really business process as a service over the next 5 years, how we've used standard CRM functionality, and how we are actually leveraging Windows 8 for the uniqueness that we need within our business. And then Paul and Mark will actually go on and discuss how they did the solution for us. So, who are Sealord? Well, for those of you who don't know, we sell over $600 million worth of seafood in more than 30 countries worldwide. We employ 1,100 people here in New Zealand and another 400 offshore, and it includes locations in Australia, China, Argentina, Hong Kong, the UK, and the USA. We're owned by Aotearoa Fisheries Limited, a Maori business, and also Nisui's, a Japanese seafood company, so we're 50-50 owned. We also do consider ourselves very much as guardians of the sea, so ensuring that everything that we do is sustainable for future generations. So, what are we doing in Sealord IS? Well, we're like any other IS department. You know, we've been traditionally seen as those folks off the side that do some IT stuff for the business. You know, quite often the business would have come to us in the past and we go, "Oh, we'll give you that. You know, do you want chips with that?" And that's about it. We're moving from that kind of environment with the business to be seen as truly integrated partners and process experts. So, our focus now is much more on adding value to the business and looking at process improvement and business analysis, and much less on keeping the lights on. So, where have we come from? Well, we come from an architecture like this, with systems like this. And as you can see from the date, this wasn't too long ago for us, to really a much more modern enterprise architecture based on the Microsoft stack. So, this is our NAV system, and this is a CRM system that we're just implementing right now. And at the same time, we are taking opportunities to really improve our process in the business, to simplify things and to automate things. We've had some learning around that because when we started this journey, we pretty much said to a lot of our vendors, "Here's our business process. Can you just make the system do that?" Rather than us looking at what best practice is and looking at what best practice in the systems are and implementing that. So, we've learned that lesson, and we very much take the latter approach nowadays. So, we're also looking for much better real-time business flow and better decision-making. And again, by leveraging the enterprise stack that we've got, we're much better able to do that. We've still got some issues around BI, but we're really getting to a situation where we do have one source of the truth. So, as I said earlier, you know, we've really concentrated a lot on the plumbing, and all this slide is basically articulating is that we had a real old mismatch in terms of our IS infrastructure and our line of business applications. So, server layer, Server 2003, Server 2008, IBM AIX, a database layer that is both SQL and Oracle, line of business applications that are very, very disparate, quite a few things that we developed ourselves, and a presentation layer that was Office 2003 and not much else. So, there was no real alignment in terms of what we were trying to do from an enterprise back-end perspective. We also had the challenge in the business that, you know, traditionally we had our web presence and we had some line of business applications that dealt with the core. But we had a big gap in between the distance between the, you know, where we are in the middle and the end customer. So we also have to close that gap. So where do we want to be? Well, as I say, we've been taking this journey for over 18 months now. We have a presentation layer that is completely unified. So we have SharePoint and Office 2010, and we're very much looking forward to going to the next generation of Office soon. We have a server layer that's harmonized. Database layer is not quite there, but we're very much settled on SQL for that. And a simplification of our line of business applications. So again, NAV and some industry standard solutions that exist around that. Our manufacturing systems, our CRM systems, and then any less orderly workflow that we need to deal with, we're dealing with that in SharePoint. So where do we want to get to? Well, we very much have this vision in CLORD of taking our business process as a service. So when I started, 60% of the effort in IS was focused on keeping the lights on, and only 40% on business analysis and adding value. Where we are now with the changes that we've already made, we've swapped that around. So we're 40-60, 40% keeping the lights on, 60% focusing on adding value. And where we want to get to really is a 20-80 split. So we do see that leveraging the Microsoft solution set that we've got, we just want to in the future be taking business processes as a service. Most of the processes that we deal with in CLORD are standard in the industry and basically standard worldwide. So why would we want to do something different? So where does CRM and Metro fit in? Because that's why you guys came for this presentation, right? Well, CRM was always the next cab off the rank for us once we'd done our ERP implementation. We've got lots and lots of business requirements to do that, so that was the primary reason for us doing CRM. ERP, we had to do it because we had a 15-year-old system which we couldn't maintain anymore. And we, as a business, are moving from, you know, quite some time ago, we were silo-based product sales. We shifted fish. Where we're going to is much more around selling solutions to food service, to retailers, you know, to our end consumers. The quality of our product is obviously the thing that we focus the most on, but there's a whole load of other things that we can do around that in terms of making sure our sustainability message comes across, ensuring that you know, the healthiness of our product comes across, and giving our customers actually what they need. And to be able to do that, you need a decent CRM system, so that's why we've done it. So what do we utilize CRM for? Well, in the first wave, we're utilizing it for a sales system in Australia. That's been the first cab off the rank for us, for a customer database. Then we're moving right now into New Zealand sales and marketing, so providing some really good solutions for our sales team here, and that's what you're gonna see later. We're also implementing some capabilities around dealing with communications and social media. We'll be looking at customer care, so we have some access databases and some things that we've actually done ourselves in the past, and we wanna migrate those to sit within the CRM stack. And some future requirements. So it's certainly going through this journey has opened my mind as to what we can actually do with CRM. You know, anything where there is a customer relationship we can use the system for. So we have a legacy engineering system that's basically a relationship between the engineers, their end customers in the factory, and the items that they deal with. We can do that in CRM. I would never have thought to do that, you know, even 6 months ago. So we've got some real good opportunities coming up. But the challenge for us around CRM, because we've never really done this kind of thing before to this level of detail, is how do we ensure end-user adoption? And how do we make sure that we deliver to the unique needs that CLORD has, but also plays to my needs in terms of the IS strategy to say, listen, if it's standard, if it's a process that isn't unique, then keep it standard. Do not mess around with things, because that then enables us in IS to do that focus on value add and less on keeping the lights on. So this slide here is really where I'm trying to explain that in a bit more detail. We very much have a concept in CLORD of three types of system, or even three types of business process. We've got those that are systems of record. We don't have a single unique process that relates to system of record. So why on earth would we design something that's unique to CLOD? And the answer is, of course, we shouldn't and we won't. So around our ERP system, it's very much vanilla. It's very much a system of record. It works. It actually looks after probably 70% of what we do in our business, but we don't need to spend 70% of our time on it. Then we have those things where we need something to be differential. So it might be specific to our industry, for example. Now, in those areas, we need systems and processes that are able to deal with that. So what do we do there? Again, CRM is a prime example. We configure it to meet those needs. There's that 5% of what we do that's truly unique to CLOD. Those are things that where we want to innovate. We want a point of difference with our competition. So how do we innovate? Well, I don't particularly want to innovate in my ERP system. I don't need to. I don't really want to innovate in my CRM system because I want it standard. I want it vanilla. I would just want it to run. But what I can do, obviously with some really good partners, is do some really neat innovation in the Windows 8 layer. On top of all of this, that means I can keep the core standard, but I can do the things that CLOD needs right on the edge. And that's the one message that I'd really like to bring across to you today. Now, that's the approach that we're taking. And because we're pretty much wedded to the Microsoft roadmap, we're really seeing opportunities to be able to do that. So that's it from me. I'd now like to hand over to Paul, and he's going to explain a little bit more about what we actually did.
Thanks, Neville. So my name is Paul Scott, and I'm a business unit manager at Datacom in the CRM space. Just before I sort of kick into the detail too much, I'll give you a little bit of history on where I've been. I've been implementing CRM systems since 2000, all over the world, New Zealand, Europe. I've got some battle scars, but I'd want to sort of give you one key learning from my CRM experience is really around keeping it simple. You know, user adoption is key with CRM systems, and you've really got to keep it simple. What you don't want to do is 6 months or a year down the track with your CRM implementation, have a look and see that users aren't using the system, because you're going to get nowhere with your CRM journey very quickly. Just a little plug as well for those of you who do have Dynamic CRM. We run a monthly Dynamic CRM user group, so I would encourage you to come along to that if you haven't already. There's a link there, so please come along, have a look. So I guess the challenge that Neville set us was, we want a unique solution for CLOD's key users, and they are sales reps. Now, sales reps, what do? Sales reps in a fast-moving consumer goods company like CLOD, they sell at the end of the day. They go out, they visit customers, and they need to build relationships. But they're really hard to keep engaged in CRM systems. Over the years, again, you've got to give sales reps a tool that they can keep coming back to. It's the old, what's in it for me? If you don't give them something useful, that's something for them, then they're not going to actually come back to the system. So we wanted to have that in mind when we were actually designing this solution. And again, the old, you've got to make sure that people really love the system, want to keep coming back. And that was one of the key things for user adoption. We wanted people to keep coming back to this tool. So we had that in the back of our mind as well. But as Neville mentioned, the challenge is, he said, I want an out-of-the-box solution, okay? Or I want to reuse an existing solution. But he wants something unique and distinct. And of course, he wants it now, as all customers do. He wanted to also make use of the new tools that they had. And one of the things that CLOD decided very quickly is they wanted to give their sales force a Windows 8 tablet, a Samsung tablet in this case, what I've got here. So we needed to design something around that. So what we wanted to do was optimize part of the sales process that the sales reps will be doing. So we sort of asked ourselves the question, how could we make a sales rep's day easier? And we wanted to sort of focus around that. How can we really make their day easier? So obviously Windows 8 plus Dynamic CRM is really the answer that we wanted. And what we wanted to do, and any of you that have sort of been using Dynamic CRM know that it's a very flexible tool, but it's quite click intensive. Just for instance, try and create an opportunity in an order and try add a few products to there, and you're probably at about 10 clicks just to actually achieve that. So again, user adoption was something we really wanted to focus on. We also wanted something that was really visually appealing and sexy, and I believe we've come up with something that meets those criteria, which you'll see very shortly. So the solution we came up with was visit planning. So essentially, salespeople, they want to spend more time with their customers. Before they can do that, they actually have to prepare to go and meet them. So sales 101, you've got to be prepared for your sales calls when you go and visit your customers. If you're not, you're not going to look well in front of your customers, and you're not going to get more out of the visits that you actually want to. So we decided to optimize their visit planning, as I mentioned. So what we wanted to do was provide a tool that enabled them to prepare effectively for those calls in the car, in their home before they went out in the morning, or maybe sitting in the aisle of the supermarket, as it might be. You know, effective planning enabling them to increase their sales and improve their relationships with their customers. So we all know that dynamic CRM, if you've been using it, is a really flexible tool. You know, you can add new fields, you can add new entities related to a customer, you can build it out and capture all sorts of information. But how do you actually consolidate it all to bring it all together? So again, if you were actually to have all of those multiple entities all related to a customer, how do you actually bring them all together in one screen? Now, yes, I hear you say dynamic CRM has got dashboards, it's got reporting, got subgrids, all sorts of things like that. So you can start to bring all of that information together easily, but it's still not seamless. So our goal that we set out with was to bring together all of the relevant information for a customer visit into one application that the salespeople could easily prepare for. It had to be seamless. It had to have the Metro flavor and UI. It had to be collaborative and sexy. We want the sales guys, when they're in a supermarket or wherever it might be, talking with a customer, we want them to be able to have the tablet there with them and have some relevant information they can actually share with the customer to help them sell. So we went on the road and we did a little bit of research and we followed one of the sales reps around for the day. We had a look at how they did their planning, and so we used that to input into our design process, so that was really key. Okay, at this point, I'd like to just bring Mark up as well, and so we're going to start off with the demo of what we've actually put together. Right, just hold on 1 second. So before we sort of get in and have a look at the Metro application that you're all dying to see, I sort of wanted just to reflect back, because one of the key reasons we're actually doing this was around user adoption. So I wanted just to reflect on CRM and just go into CRM and just take a couple of minutes to show you how you might actually do some of this planning if you're actually using dynamic CRM in the web browser before we actually show you the Metro application. So I've got dynamic CRM open now here, and I've got a list of activities up that I've got for my day, and for my week. So I can see a list of my activities. So if I have a quick look, I can see I've got an appointment at Mount Eden New World this morning at 9:30. So if I want to do some planning, for instance, I can double click and open that up and start to have a look at a bit more detail. So I've got my appointment form that opens up, and I can see, you know, when this is, and I can see some of my agenda. I can see I've got, you know, a weekly visit, and I've got some tasks there. So that's quite nice. I can see that high-level detail, but not enough really for me to prepare to go and meet with my customer. So now I've got to sort of click into the customer record, open that up in the account, and I can see some information about my account now. I can see, you know, where it is. I can see that John Stanton is the primary customer there. And that's all good and everything. So again, but now I want to know who are all of the other contacts in that account. So I can click there and I can see that. But I want some more information on maybe some of the objectives I've got in this account. I'm going to click there as well. And then I want to get a few more details on one of those objectives. I can click there. So I've probably had about 4 or 5 clicks, and I've had to drill in to get the information. So again, you know, the information's there, but it's not necessarily that easy to get at. At this point, I'd like to just move over to our... to our Metro application. So just start out giving you a demonstration of this. So as you can see, we've got the Windows 8 home screen up here. And I'm going to go ahead and touch the CLord icon here to open our visit planning application. Now, the first thing I want to say is that we've actually spent quite a bit of time on the design elements of this application, the branding. So you'll see we've got the CLord logo in the top left. The Week Planner font is a CLord font. So if you go to CLord's website or their intranet, we've got the same look and feel across it. So we've actually had a designer involved in helping us put all this together. The tiles that you see there, the background color again is the CLord color. What you'll notice in the background is there's a attractive plate with a fillet of fish on a bed of potatoes there. So really trying to bring through the idea of fish and the branding. So that was really important to us. So I'm just going to hand over to Mark, who's going to talk about the first screen in the application.
Excellent. Thanks, Paul. So here we can see on our first screen, we've got a standard sort of metro layout and feel. And I can see here all my appointments for this week, or actually the next 7 days that are coming on up. So today, my first appointment coming up at 1 p.m. this afternoon is at New World Mount Eden, as Paul's already mentioned. And I can see here a little bit of the briefing about it, so that I'm not needing to open it up to see my next details about my next appointment. I can use some semantic zoom. I can jump, say, through to Tuesday to get there quickly. No worries. And all of this is in a very nice, easy metro interface. Now, if I bring up down the bottom, I can control some of the pieces. Can't quite see it on there. That's okay. Around offline mode. So this application works offline. When a sales rep walks out of the car, they don't need to have a 3G or a Wi-Fi connection. All this data is stored on the device, and we're going to mention that in a second. So we've got some options to, say, pull down some more details from that. And if I click on our first appointment, then Paul can walk us through what we can see here.
Okay, so the idea is when I'm ready to plan for a particular appointment, in this case, a New World Mount Eden, I click into that. Now what you'll see is, again, we've now carried the branding through, and so the header bar, we've got the CLord font coming through. So this initial screen provides us some information, high-level information about the customer, where they are, who the primary contact is on the left-hand side there. And what you'll notice is there's a little more option at the bottom as well. So what we've recognized is there may be more information held in CRM, or maybe you want to go and actually edit something about this account. So if we actually click the more, it will actually open up the CRM form in there for you, and actually you can go and see the more details if you absolutely need to. Back to the application now. On the right-hand side, we now get full details about the agenda of the appointment. Again, all of that's being pulled from CRM. I'm just going to now scroll across to the next screen. So here is where the sales rep can see their objectives. So objectives are sort of medium or long-term tasks that need to be carried out with the customer that may follow over multiple visits. So we can see that we've got a few objectives there too. One's increase the facings of 250 gram cans in the aisle of tuna probably. And we can see that one of the objectives around hoki fillets is already completed as well. So we're actually going to come back to the screen at the end when we'll talk about it a little bit more. Back to you, Mark.
Cool. So moving on, here we've got a list of all the people that are involved in this organization. Paul showed a little bit of this in CRM before, but here we've got a much easier view of them. And we're even pulling through photos, which we've stored in CRM against each contact. So I can get a quick overview of all the people. I can see some more details about them, their phone, their email, follow up straight from there, and jump in through. So it's a much nicer looking interface than what you might see inside CRM. So moving across, we've got a list of the current promotions. So these are the special deals that are available to this store under their promotional group at the moment, and also ones coming in the future, in case there's some business that we want to drum up there for saying, hey, you need those extra cans on the shelf. They're coming, they're going to be cheap if you order 1,000 of them in a month coming up. Now, this is a lot easier than inside CRM. CRM, the way we've got it set up, actually requires multiple clicks, and you can't get a flattened list of all the products.
So here's a... Okay, the next screen that we've got here is really around two things. First of all, it's the ranging. So how it works in this area is that the supermarket or the customer will agree to range or buy your products on a regular basis. So in here we can see that in this particular supermarket, New World Mount Eden, we've got four products ranged. And what we can actually do is we've actually overlaid it with the sales information coming from CRM. So for instance, if I click into the Sea Lord chunky style tuna cans or down into the pink salmon, you'll see that the graph updates. And that's showing us our sales volume for that product in that store by month. So it's a really good tool to have in front of the customer. So you can see in there, you know, sales were down in April, May, June, and we've done something amazing, and the customers bought a huge amount off us in August. We've also put in there some nice information for them, such as when the last order happened and the amount of it as well. If I just scroll over to the next screen, we give the salesperson a bit more detail around the orders, so they can see the recent orders, when they were, and how much, and which products were included. And on the right-hand side, we've given them some information around the share of the Sea Lord products in the store. So for instance, we can see by volume there that the red salmon accounts for 50% of the sales that we're selling into this supermarket. If I just scroll that up there, we can see the same information now by dollar value. So again, really empowering the sales rep and giving them some nice tools that they can collaborate with.
And lastly, on the screen here, we've got some photos. So these are some pictures that we might have taken the last time we were in the store. We saw we had an objective that we needed to increase the facing of tuna cans inside the store. So here might be a photo, and if we flick into one of these, we can see a photo of how it's supposed to look last time that we were in the store. And let's say we've had our discussion with the person that we're dealing with. We can wander down the aisle, flick up there, and using the, whoa, that's me, sorry about that. We'll take a photo, actually we won't. So we'll get out of there, and we're able to go into the aisle, use the capability that's on the device, and upload that photo back into CRM for next time. So the next time we're in the shop, we can see if we did actually improve the facings, or you know how we worked with that. Just moving back to the objectives and talking about this uploading down and forth from CRM. So if we just go back to the objectives part of this, as mentioned, all of this data is live from CRM. There's no smoke and mirrors here. We're all pulling it all through, even the images and pieces. So let's go to our objectives. Let's say we've had our meeting with our contact inside the store, and we're going to increase the facings of 250 tuna cans. So I'm just going to click on the button there. And this, you might have seen a little swirly logo on the bottom, gets pushed down to CRM immediately. So if we just switch back to CRM.
So here we've got our objective record in CRM, and I'm going to go and just refresh that. And you can see it was in progress, and you can see now it's been completed. So we've actually implemented both directions, and that's an area of development that this application will have in the future, as we'll get more of the two-way capability in terms of updating data happening as well. So that's the end of this particular demonstration here of the app. What I'm going to do now is just hand over to Mark, and Mark's going to take you through a little bit more of the technical detail, how we actually built that, and how it actually works.
Thank you, Paul. So just while I'm bringing this up, as mentioned, my name's Mark Young. I'm a solution architect and general code monkey over at Datacom. And I've come from an application development point of view. So I've built both Windows and web apps, mostly for large customers. So just while I get our slides back in, apologies for this. And back on the main screen. Just to get a feel for the room, can we do some hands? How many here are developers? OK, it's a good number. Sales consultants or CRM sort of business? OK, so I'm going to probably be dealing this mostly to the developers, but it's not going to be too technical a presentation, don't worry about that. So just to give you an idea of where we're going, I'm going to give a quick overview of the approach we took in building this application. I'm going to look at some technical details about how we got CRM and Windows 8 to talk together, and then I've got a couple of coding demos, so we'll just see how the time goes with those. So how did we do it? Paul came to me and said, Mark, we need an app. We've got no time, we've got no resources, and we've got no requirements. Do you want to do it? So me being the optimistic developer that I am, said, no worries, easy. But we did have a challenge. So this is an integration project. And normally in integration, the integration piece is always where the issues come up. We didn't have time to work out and to go through with a full analysis of where's the data, what service calls are we going to need, how does this map to what we want on the front end. We didn't even have requirements at the time. So the approach we took was I was worried about the integration to begin with. So I wanted to gain some confidence that both CRM could expose data to us and that using Windows 8 we could consume it. So I did a little bit of work, established that yes, we could do that. And then once that was done, we parked all of that and said, no, let's just look at the UI. So we started off in Visual Studio and we said file new project. And we designed our UI inside the application by building it. So we were able to build a real interface fast. We didn't start with Photoshop mock-ups. We were able to build our mock-ups inside Visual Studio. And because we hadn't gone and looked at the data yet, this was flexible. We were able to change it. We hadn't wired this all up to CRM. We didn't have 17 layers of data going up and down. So we were free to throw screens in, to throw screens out, to move some things around. What happens if we put some graphs here? Oh, we can look at some charts here. Let's do some of that. Then once we had that sorted, and we'd been able to hand the tablet around and give it to people and say, have a play with this. What do you think? Do you think this might be usable? We could put the data in later and work with our CRM team to make sure that both CRM had the data that we wanted, so that we wanted images in our application. So it's like, how are we going to put that inside CRM? And we could work with them to extract that. Now this sounds like a pretty standard process. Isn't that what we always do? Yes, it is to a certain extent. But Windows 8 offered us a lot of advantages that up to now, and at least in a desktop application, we haven't been able to do. And the first one might be a little bit surprising, but the prescriptive design of Metro is actually freeing. It's something about kids, even. You give them a few rules, and it's amazing how much freer you can actually feel. So Metro's got a whole bunch of design principles. The nicest thing from a developer is that out of the box, they actually look good. So we've got some principles. We've got some standard design. We can put them in there, and that means that we can concentrate on the data and what information do we want on the screen, not do we want Comic Sans there or Arial in that title, and do we want this to be bright red or hot pink somewhere else. Also, the design time experience is getting a lot better inside Windows 8 than what it used to be. Working with WPF from some of the early versions, it really wasn't that flash. The newer ones are much better. And lastly, the built-in Metro controls actually offer a polished, usable experience out of the box. Gone are the days when we were building a WinForms app and we drag a few text boxes and some labels onto the screen. We have to show it to the clients going, oh, the data's sort of there. We know it looks ugly. It's awful, but it sort of looks like the data's there. Now what we can do is the out-of-the-box experience we can happily give to someone and say, not only does it look good with animations and movement on it, not only is it good enough to demonstrate, it's actually good enough to go to production. So those are some advantages that Windows 8 offered us. Here's just a quick screenshot of how we were working in some of the early days. And you can see, and I'll cover it later, that we've got data in there. Having a design time experience right is one of the most crucial pieces inside Windows 8 development. We can put sample data in there. Data allows us inside the designer to play with things, how they're actually going to look. We can check the margins, we can play with the colors, and we can interact with it, even though we haven't touched CRM. At this stage, we had zero of our integration going. So here's the part where I get to put on my architect's hat. And normally I'd be drawing boxes and lines and more boxes and spaghetti and everything else. But in this case, we've gone simple. And this is some of the parts that are getting me really excited about both where Windows 8 and CRM are going and where the modern data architectures are going. Our goal was to make data a first-class citizen. Now, over time, we've had all our patterns such as service-oriented architecture, which is great. We've had all the original screens where we used to do forms over data. And while we had data, data was exposed via we had a database, then we put a stored procedure on top of it. We then throw a service layer, we put it over the wire, we get it up to the front end, and the package that you get as a developer on the front end is no longer a piece of data. It's no longer that customer record of saying, this is John Smith. In fact, it's a packaged version of, here's the fields for your screen. And if the person who's designed that service doesn't know how you want to use it, or if you want to change how you want to use it, you've got to go right back to that guy at the beginning and say, mate, can you add me a new store procedure? Can you put a new service layer? Can you change your objects going up and down? The process of doing that, and while that's great, and having service-oriented architectures have enabled us to communicate across machines, being able to make data a first-class citizen is something that's really transforming the way that both the web and other areas are working. We're seeing that with things like Twitter APIs. I had a colleague who came to me at the beginning and said, expose data. And the reason for that is, don't constrain your consumers. You don't know who's going to be wanting to consume your application, and we don't know what sort of experience they're going to try to put on top of it. So don't try to second guess them. And touch the edges. So this is building on top of what Neville said before. If we don't need to build a full stack, if we don't need to put a big service layer inside CRM, we don't need to do it. The more work we can do on the edge, the more value we can offer quickly. So our solution, extremely simple. CRM exposes OData interfaces, and we're consuming those directly inside Windows 8. That's it. Windows 8 knows how to talk to OData. And so what we're doing is when you first boot up the client, Paul didn't show it, it will ask you for some AD credentials. We're accepting that and storing those on the device. Windows 8 with the .NET framework has now got a whole bunch more helper methods to assist with storing passwords securely on the device in a way that the user can manage, they can roam, they can clear those credentials. So whenever we make a call through to CRM, we just attach those AD credentials onto the call. Easy as that. Now, why do we use the OData interface? How many of you have used OData before in the past or aware of it? It's a good smattering of hands. So OData, for those who aren't aware, came out a few years ago. It had come from a Microsoft project called Astoria and from a bit of other work that was happening in the community. And essentially what it is it's an HTTP-based interface that exposes data entities directly. It allows you to query objects via a query string. So I can spit up Internet Explorer. If I know the syntax, I can play with the query I'm issuing, and I can get a different set of data back. This is extremely useful, as we'll see with things like caching and other things in the future. But what this does, as mentioned, is it ensures data comes first. We're not talking to services and specific pieces that a designer in the back end 7 years ago when they first built the system thought up. We're able to talk to the data that's actually there on the fly. And OData's got advantages where it's standard, and it's easy to test and understand. I can send someone a link, an IE, to say, here's the link, and they can go, well, why isn't this working? It just shows up. Anyone can understand it. There's tools out there in the marketplace, and we'll see some of those in a minute. And it's ready for other clients, that it can expose a JSON interface. We can put an iOS client front end and reuse some of the same data that we're doing. And it does reduce wiring, or at least mostly, if you believe the sales pitch. So what I'd like to do is show a coding demo of that actually in action. And I'm going to show a demo of us consuming OData, and this is how we did this inside the application. Okay, so just going back into CRM, what I'd like to do, and something I haven't actually built inside the application yet, is to be able to expose a list of all our accounts. So you saw on that home screen, we had a list of my activities for the week, but it would be really nice if we could look at all of the accounts inside the system. Here's a list of my active accounts. But I'm not wanting to look at just my accounts. What we'll do, just for at least for this demo, to show you a few things, is I'm going to look at all the accounts, and we're going to look at the ones who are linked to a channel, and we're going to group them by those channels so that we can flick to a screen and just see all our retail accounts that are currently active for us. So here's the screen channel that we want to get, and the object is an account. This is a standard CRM object. So what I'm going to do first is we're going to flick into a tool called LinkPad. And LinkPad is a tool that's an external tool that enables me to query these OData interfaces without having to jump into code. So I don't have to go into C#, I don't have to build a user interface to see what I can get back. Those of you who are familiar with SQL or coding, LinkPad's really nice, it lets me code in C# directly here. Now I've already linked this up, we should be able to see on the left hand side here, to my endpoint. And what I can see under here is a list of all the data objects that are available through this OData interface, which should be all our data objects that are inside CRM, including all of our custom ones. Those of you who have used SQL Management Studio before, this is very would look very similar to that. So I want to get the accounts. So the object here is called an account set. And I can cheat. And I'm going to right-click on here. And that's got some pre-canned queries. And let's click on this. From A, an account set, where some clause, select A. Very simple and straightforward. Now, if I execute that immediately, actually just what I'm going to load up one other thing inside here. It's Fiddler, so we can see what's happening. I am a real developer, don't worry. So from A, an account set, select A, hit F5. And down the bottom, this is going to take a while because this is going to pull back all the accounts inside the system. And we're going through the wireless. Is it going to work? Look at that. So I've got a list here of all the accounts in the system. And there's a whole lot of data. Now, that's not all that easy to read. And it's also all the pieces. So we want to filter that. Let's filter this first by that property called the channel. Now, I can look on the left here, and it can see all the properties that I've got. I could flick through my results just to see what values came back. Actually, here's the channel. And you can see that this first one has a name of retail. So let's just do a search for that. Where A dot channel is not equal to null. Hit F5. Here we go. We've got two records coming back which have got channels in the system. That's probably not a good thing. Paul, are you able to try to plug in my power, just in case? It's inside the bag over there. Now, one thing we can do, I've mentioned before that this is an HTTP interface. We can see over here that here's the query that it issued. So I've got my back-end service, I queried for the account set, and I'm applying a filter saying where the channel is not equal to null. Nice, this is just a pure thing. And to prove this in action, I'm going to copy that, and I'll flick back into IE, open a new tab, and I'm going to paste that into the browser. And here's the data that came back. I can give that to anyone. This is extremely powerful. Just to finish this off, I don't actually want to get everything, so what I'm going to do, thank you. Let's see if what would blow up here. If I get electrocuted, talk among yourselves.
There is a risk that the power might cut off when we plug this in, you realize.
I did have full power before. So I didn't want all those fields. So let's just select the subset of the fields here. Fingers crossed. And I'm going to select back name and channel name. So what I've done here is I've filtered this. We can see that the query's been changed. So the query only includes those two columns. And as the results coming back, we can see that we've got two accounts. We've got New World Mount Eden, and we've got a test account, and that power hasn't worked. So we'll see. Fingers crossed that we can get through the presentation. We've got New World Mount Eden, and that's got a channel of retail. And I've got a test account, which is set up to a food service distributor. So now we've been able to test all this code without having to go into any code. We can get our queries right. We can pull out all the data. And now what I can do is I can flick this across into Visual Studio. So I've got a method I've already got sitting there ready and waiting called get accounts with channels. I've already wired this up to a screen, but it's not doing anything. So I'm just going to copy in that code. And I'm going to have to do a little bit just to get this going. But I'm just wanting to show you how quick it is to be able to pull in some data from CRM. So I'm going to grab a context, and a context, if I put the right words in there, data service helper. So context is just a reference to the service, and I'm going to grab an instance of that. Now what I can do is I can go accounts equals. My original query, thank you, let's just try that one. No, that's the wrong size adapter. No, it's not. Well, it's not showing up. Okay, keep going. So we're grabbing the accounts. We've got our original piece, and I'm just going to pull that out. Await accounts. So now that should be a list of accounts. At least it would be if I actually queried it. And there's my, so what I've got in code now. Oh yes, we're on now. We're all go. Excellent. Thank you. And it was 100% full too. Oh well. My battery did used to work. So what I've got here is I've actually got an error, but that's okay. Only because I put the brackets in the wrong spot. So let's just ignore that. So we can take that link piece, we can throw it into code, and now what we've got is we've got a list of accounts. And the demo gods are not smiling on me at the moment, are they? Now what we want to do is I wanted to group it. That's okay. How about I include the word called execute? So we've got our link statement, and we're now executing it. We're turning that into a list. I'm now going to group that, and I want to, now I'm in code, and I've got my whole object, so I can go return accounts, and I'm going to group them by the channel name, and I'm going to export just the name, and turn that into a list. So here's my method. My method's gone off to CRM. It's grabbed the list of all the accounts which have got a channel. It's pulled back just the channel name and the account name, and it's returned back a group of that in C#. If I hit F5 on this, what I should get is our application loading. I've got a screen that I've already linked to, and that should now show a list of my accounts inside the system. And I'm in the simulator mode. That was a mistake. Let's just quit out of that, and we'll run it locally. So this is the process that we went through for developing for CRM. And I guess what I'm trying to show here is that if we make data up at the forefront, and if I just click on retail accounts, we can see here we've got our two accounts come through from CRM. Bang, done. So what I'm trying to show here is that if we make data up at the front, oops, if I go back to the right screen, what we're able to do is not constrain what developers are doing, and we can very quickly turn it on with a Windows 8 application. Now, just some of the other points I might quickly go through. Offline strategy. So for us, offline was very important. We wanted to develop for a mode in which sales reps are on the road, and they don't always have a data connection. And the new .NET 4.5 made that very easy to work with. How we did it was we used the isolated storage on the device to act as a cache, and our queries were all going through that cache. Now, because we're using OData, the URL acts as a query string, which always returns the same set of data. Because of that, we can use that URL as a key for the cache. So very simply, every time we go out to OData, we check if we've already got a response for that in the cache, and if we do, we flick it straight back up. So this has two benefits. One is it helps the application perform faster, normally, and two, when they're offline, if there's something in the cache, they get that piece of data. So we're not having to build two different systems, one for runtime performance and another one for offline. It all comes free as part of that. And the actual strategy we've done is quite nice. What we do is we pull data from this cache, and then we asynchronously go off and say, now fetch it from CRM later sometime. When that data comes back, which could be 1 second later, it could be 30 seconds later, we update the screen at that point. So it means that as soon as you open a screen, even if the cache is expired, you see data. And then maybe 30 seconds later, that data gets refreshed. It's a really nice looking interface. It works really, really well. And the XAML bindings, et cetera, help with that. Just a couple of points about Windows 8 development and our experiences here. I've mentioned this before, but I can't iterate it, emphasize it enough, that the design time experience is really, really important. When we were doing that, and I'll show you this in a second, depending on time. We built up sample data to look like what we expected CRM to look like when we were designing our screens. This meant that we could play with things and we could get it all running without having to hook anything up to CRM. Good coding practices still apply. So this might be a thin client front-end hacky sort of thing on the side that doesn't touch the full system. But the more we can break pieces down into chunks, the quicker they can move and change. And I've got just a couple of links to some frameworks that you can use there. These are for front-end Windows 8 development. So I'll just quickly, for 2 minutes, just show that design time experience happening. So going back to the screen we had before, I'd actually already built a design time for that before I did any of that code in the back end. So just looking at the XAML, this came out of the box by clicking File, New Item. There's a whole bunch of data. And you can see that I've bound that up to a set of sample data, which I can actually open up. Okay, that's what my sample data looks like. Very, very easy in code to build this up. I can make this look like anything. But what this allows me to do is to spin up the designer. And inside the designer here inside Visual Studio, we've got that data in there. So now what I can do is I could open up this in Blend or something else. I can play with the margins. I can play with the look. And I don't need to have had this hooked up to anything. So I'd like just to hand back to Paul, and Paul's going to come and wrap up just some of the pieces that we've talked about this morning and some of our learnings.
Yeah. You want to stay up as well, because it's be great.
So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed the presentation today in terms of having a look at what we've actually built for Sealord. I guess if we just want to wrap up and give you a couple of takeaways before we go to some questions, really user adoption is critical in CRM. And we recognized that straight away. And so that was really something that we had at the heart. So I encourage you to remember that. The second thing is, providing the right tools, such as, Dynamic CRM, together with Windows 8 to Metro to users, I think is kind of a new gold standard in a user interface on top of Dynamic CRM. If you have to sort of take what you've sort of seen, we've shown you, and sort of go back to your old CRM, it doesn't quite look as sexy anymore, does it? One thing I would like to say is that, this area is still developing, and no doubt the CRM product team is going to be coming out with a Metro UI of some sort. So what we've done is, by focusing on a specific use case, in this case around the visit planning for Sealord, we've sort of made sure that whenever they come out with something, we're not going to sort of be trumped. So what we've got, we'll be able to continue on, and we sort of can't go wrong, if you like. And Mark, in terms of the wrap-up on user data that's available?
Yeah, so my biggest pieces is just around that data again. Make sure you expose the data the whole way up. Don't hide things, don't hide fields, and use it and bring it together inside an application in a way that's really data-centric rather than workflow. I'll say that is workflow-centric rather than maybe a forms and constraint to look exactly the same as the database. I would just say, just on this, you're very welcome. Come up and have a play with the device. It is a lot better when you're actually touching it than having to see it up on the screen. So I really recommend, have a play with it. The feel is very natural with Windows.
Yep. So we've got our email addresses up there, and you're more than happy to drop us a line if you've got a question. If there's any questions, we're happy to take a couple now.